What's happening, everybody? We're back with another episode of the QB List podcast. It's the week 7 preview, and it's Brian and Nick here to break it down. We've got some London games, Sunday games, and a couple of Monday night games. How you doing today, man?
Doing great, man. Good to see you as always. Shout out to Mario getting married this week. So we're going to miss him on the podcast, but hopefully we can fill in here nicely for him, and excited to talk about week 7.
All right, you got to stand up for Russell Wilson today. You got to be the one. You got to take his spot.
Yes, yeah, that is definitely where I stand. That is where I'm going to draw the line in the sand right there.
I'm never going to let him live that down. but yes, folks, we will be going through all of the remaining games. We got to watch a fun Thursday night game. We're recording this before, so we don't actually know. But of course, the Steelers took care of business, right?
Maybe. We're assuming so, but who knows? Tomlin seemed pretty upset with the Browns for trading Flacco over this week, kind of called out the Browns GM by name and was a little disappointed in that. So that's weird of Tomlin, in my opinion, for somebody who's so confident and, you know, put everything on the field. But we'll see if he's actually scared of Flacco coming into town.
Hey, Bengals, they had a five and a half point spread. I may or may not have sprinkled a little bit. Folks, if you're listening to this, you know if I wasted money or not. But yeah, we're going to go ahead and start off with the London game, work our way all the way through the Sunday slate, hit those two Monday night games. If you haven't listened to the episode before, we throw a 3-minute timer up there. We give you everything we possibly can going through all these players, and that's what we're about to do. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Let's do it. All righty. We're going off to Wembley. Yes, London again, folks. It's the 4-2 Rams taking on the 4-2 Jags. I haven't said that in a long time. It's a 44.5-point over under. The Jags are 3-point dogs in this one. I mean, it's right off the bat here, starting with the quarterbacks. We've got Matt Stafford and Trevor Lawrence. I guess, how much fear do you have in this London game underperforming, as we tend to see them do?
I have a lot of fear in it underperforming, especially without Puka. We saw Stafford kind of fade a little bit without him in the lineup last week, even in a dream matchup against Baltimore. Jaguars defense is kind of weird. They're bottom 5 in yardage and passing yardage, but 10 interceptions on the season. So a little bit misleading. And Lawrence, you just have no idea what's going to happen. We watch him throw perfect passes that all his receivers drop. We watch him overthrow and underthrow people on the very next play. I think both of them are QB2s for me this week.
I'm right there with you. I completely agree. Moving on to the running backs here, we've got Kyren Williams, who feels like just stud of stud. Can anybody really bench him? How good is your team to be able to bench Kyren?
Yeah, must start for Kyren. Blake Corum, we're not sure if he's going to be playing this week. So I know this is one of your guys, Brian, but we'll keep an eye out for Jarquez Hunter, rookie 4th-round pick. McVay was super excited when they drafted him. He was like the one guy that they were looking after, and there's videos of him talking about it. So this will be really the first time we see him on the field, but just a name to keep an eye out for.
Yeah, 100%. If for some reason Blake Corum's on an extended time, Jarquez Hunter would fall to the backup there. On the other side, we've got Travis Etienne. We got Bashaul Tuten. Tuten continues to be kind of fall more into out of the flex conversation and more into just the if Etienne goes down. Etienne, 12 for 27 last week, caught four of his 5 targets. Kind of a disappointing week against Seattle. So another tough defensive matchup. You're starting him, I imagine, if you have to. But is this one you're looking to fade a little bit, more of an RB2?
Yeah, I think we're going to see probably a similar performance. But he's getting the full workload, so you're probably starting him RB2 flex range and high floor, low ceiling probably. But yeah, main guys are starting BTJ. Brenton Strange is on IR, so I wouldn't be touching Hunter long. Higbee, I think, is a sneaky guy to start if you're like really in need of a tight end, but in standard leagues, probably not. But without Puka there, he's seen some end zone targets, so just a name to monitor. Probably more of a DFS play than anything.
God, a 32-year-old tight end, decently athletic. Oh, I don't want to, but it completely makes sense. You know,
well, like another name for fun, Terrence Ferguson. Drafted in the 2nd round this year, so he's going to be the taking over probably next year for Higbee in that offense. But he's getting on the field a little bit more as the season goes on.
Yeah, so if Puka plays, I'm starting him. As of the report we have, he did not participate, so Adam seems like a great play. Travis Hunter on the other side, is he just waiver wire fodder at this point?
Yeah, awesome. Beautiful catch last week downfield, but we just haven't seen anything consistent. And if he drops that pass, then he's absolutely nowhere in wide receiver 6-7 range.
Yeah, unfortunately so. Who wins the game?
I'm going to go Rams.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Rams too. Yeah. I think they're definitely the better team. Jacksonville is improving. They're looking good. But like you said, there's turnovers. They're not exactly a predictable stat.
Yeah, I think that defensive line is going to make Lawrence uncomfortable too.
He always looks uncomfortable back there. All righty. Our next game, we got the 1-5 Saints taking on the 3-2 Bears in Chicago. 46.5 point over under. Bears are favored by 4.5 in this one. Caleb Williams. I think Ben Johnson is figuring it out with Caleb. He's looking better and better. 17 for 29 last week. 250 through the air with a touchdown and a rushing touchdown. He finished with negative 2 yards and a rushing touchdown.
Wow. Pretty good. Pretty impressive.
So, yeah, Caleb Williams, I'm willing to start this week. Obviously, on the other side, Spencer Rattler. Yeah.
Yeah. Kamara, kind of in your RB2. He's RB26 on the season. Really, all these games are the perfect game script for him as a receiving back. So I think he's in your lineup here. The Bears have also been miserable against running backs this year. Mm-hmm. So I think he's got a lot of upside, actually. We just haven't really seen it quite yet. Swift, same thing. Incredible game, especially second half last week. So as I actually had the Bears at 5.5. So pretty big favorites. Saints are terrible in all aspects of the game. So I think Swift is a solid RB2, kind of mid-range this year or this week. Roma Dunze, obviously you're starting. Olave is going to be the target leader with Puka out now. He's going to be taking over that role. And what do you think of Shaheed?
I mean, it's one of those, like, if you're in a 12-team league, break glass in case of emergency. I think next week might be more of a week that you need him with all those bye weeks coming. But I think there's better pivot options if you don't look for that that big boom play. And for those of you that were worried maybe Kamara might get traded, maybe his system improves, just got worried he came out and said, yeah, I'm either playing in New Orleans or I'm going to Fiji. The guy doesn't intend to be traded. He's essentially threatening to retire. So Kendre Miller, unless there's an injury to Kamara, there's no use holding on to him, hoping that maybe it opens up. On the other side, for the wide receivers for Chicago, Roma Dunze almost pulled in that touchdown last week. 5 targets, mm-hmm. 2 catches for 32 yards. Would have been his 5th consecutive game with a touchdown. Missed out on it, but I think you got to go right back to the well with him.
Yep, absolutely. DJ Moore, day-to-day. Ended up in the hospital after the game, which was a little confusing. But if he doesn't go, somebody to monitor is rookie second-round pick Luther Burden. It looks like you were going to talk about him as well. Zacchaeus has been kind of dominating that slot role, but he was terrible last week. He had a few really bad drops. Burden seeing the field more and more, even with DJ Moore healthy. But if he's not out there, then he's certainly a big play waiting to happen.
It's my biggest fear. I picked up Luther Burden in several leagues this week, and it's just so challenging because we might get something out of him, but they pass the ball around so much. We've got two tight ends capable of catching, 4 wide receivers, running backs too. So I just wonder if and when we'll actually get a spot where we're comfortably starting him, or if it's more of just that shot in the dark flex play.
Yep. Ideally more of a stash, but if you're 100%. Shooting for the moon and DJ Moore is not out there, in consideration.
Yeah. Limited participate in practice on Thursday is the report we have. As far as the tight ends go, Cole Kmet, Colson Loveland, you'll take a shot in DFS, but I think that's all it really is.
Yeah.
Taysom Hill, if you are a 20 point dog, throw him in there. He only had 1 touch last week, but it was a touchdown. You know how Taysom Hill works.
Mm-hmm.
Who wins it?
Bears.
Duh, Bears. Yeah, give me the Bears in that one as well. I like it. All righty, here we go. A little, this one could be gross. This weather is not looking good for this game. It's the 1-5 Dolphins taking on the 1-5 Browns. Browns are favored by 2.5, 37.5 point over under. That is ugly. We're continuing to get more and more reports that not only defenders for the Dolphins being on the block, possibly Achane getting calls about, Jalen Waddle possibly being on the block. Just, I don't even want to talk about that and go to tangent
who,
an hour.
Who would even be left?
You haven't fired the coach yet. I get it. If you fire the coach, start clearing house. But
he's out after, if they lose this one, he's out.
Oh man, the Eagles are clamoring, hoping that happens. Dylan Gabriel too. The weather's supposed to be pretty rough in this one, pretty windy. I don't want to start either one of these wide receivers.
Nope.
Or quarterbacks.
QBs. Yeah.
Running backs, Achane, you're starting. Quinshon Judkins might have a day.
Yeah, Quinshon should be RB1 this week. Rico obviously has been amazing, but started with that Miami game. And then Kamani Vidal this past week also blew up against Miami. There's no reason that he isn't going to see 20 touches and should absolutely smash them. Miami is dead last in rush yards per game. I think it's like 135 on average.
Yeah, it's bad.
So yeah, don't hesitate if you were nervous about Quinshon last week.
Yeah, allows the sixth most rushing yards. Fifth most carries to running backs. He's going to get fed. They had to throw the ball, 52 times. They're not winning any games throwing the ball 52 times, especially when Dylan Gabriel is at the helm. As for the wide receivers, Waddle, pay attention to the weather. If the wind's that bad, I would be concerned a bit. But Cleveland also has a bit of a pass funnel defense. They're going to let stuff in real close happen. So he might be able to just nickel and dime his way in the PPR leagues.
Yeah, he's going to get the targets of anybody there. So if you got to start him, you can probably do worse. But I feel like every year in October, there's these terrible weather games in Cleveland, and they just end up like 13-10.
Yeah, it could be a stink. Well, I don't know. Judkins might run. He might get 3 touchdowns in this one.
I hope so.
Jerry Jeudy, what's the confidence level on him this week?
Still pretty low. I think his high this year is like 65 yards, and then everything else has been under 50. I don't believe he has any touchdowns. So he's probably, I think, the only person I'm excited about is Fannin.
Let's play a game then. Jerry Jeudy or Tez Johnson for the Buccaneers.
I'd probably go Tez.
Jerry Jeudy or Alec Ayumanner filling in for the injured Ridley.
I think Ayumanner is not going to be able to do anything against Christian Gonzalez if they choose to shadow him. So I'm pretty out on him this week. But yeah, I'd probably go Jeudy in that situation.
Last one, Pats fan. Booty. You doing Booty or Jeudy?
Booty or Jeudy? Man. Maybe Booty. I think he's obviously got more upside. So we just saw last week 90 yards and 2 touchdowns. Jeudy hasn't done anything like that. It's been inconsistent for Booty, but he's actually done it a few games already this season.
Yeah, I agree with you there. As far as tight ends, Fannin and Waller don't mind the play this week. I think they can get it done, especially PPR-wise. But again, keep an eye on the weather. See what happens there. You might have to pivot. It's tight end. It won't wreck your team if you pivot away from those guys.
Yeah, Fannin, I'd have over Waller.
But yeah, I think I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
My rankings say I do. So
that's great.
Nice. Who wins it?
Let's go Browns at home. Bad weather. I don't really like any Florida team playing on the road in bad weather.
Yeah, they better put the helmet condom on too. Miles Garrett's gonna be coming after him. Next game, we've got a little Arrowhead madness going on there. It's the 2-4 Raiders taking on the 3-3 Chiefs. So weird seeing them at 3-3. 45.5 point over under. Chiefs favored by 11.5. Patrick Mahomes been the king of kings this year. You got to keep playing him.
Yep. QB1 on the season. Somebody we talked about weeks ago trying to buy into. And Rashee Rice comes back this week. So things should only get better.
I'm so excited. Gino, we're not even sniffing that. Nope. Don't think so. As for the running back, Genty, absolutely. Like, so excited about the development we've got over the last few games. He's looked so much better. 138 yards, 67 yards, 75 yards. You know, he's being more involved in the passing games. 11 targets over the last few games. So easy start for us.
Yeah. 11.5 point underdogs is not the ideal situation for him, but you probably took him in the first round. So you're starting him.
How are we going through the Kansas City running back side? We've got Isaiah Pacheco, Kareem Hunt. It just makes no sense.
They're both kind of flex options this week. And this is, if you've been listening at all, I've stayed away from Kansas City backfield the entire year. I've told you, sell them, avoid them, don't be a part of this at all. This week, I think you have flex upside on both of them. But Hunt is getting like 100% of the red zone touches. So I have to lean him as a little bit higher. But Pacheco, you know, he performs. They both get 40 to 50 yards every week, and it's just who falls into the end zone.
And Kareem Hunt, the guy who can catch the ball. I mean, Pacheco's got he's getting 3 targets a game over the last 3 weeks, while Hunt's getting 1. It's wild. Wild. All right. I'm going to start on the Raiders side for the wide receivers because I got to contain myself a little bit. But Jacoby Myers been a huge disappointment. I think most of that can be linked to the quarterback position. He has been around trade rumors going forward. So bye week next week, but I don't want to play him.
No, I'm probably out. I'm probably looking for somebody with higher upside.
You talking about like Rashi Rice? That's some higher upside.
That is way higher upside.
Oh, I've got him as a top 10 wide receiver. I'm trying to manage expectations a little bit here. But yeah, Rashi Rice is, put him in your lineups, folks. Have no hesitation.
We talked about this early this offseason, but I think the 6-week suspension probably only benefited him coming off that injury. So he's supposedly, they are anticipating a big workload right away. So I think if you have Rice, you're starting him. I'd say the same Worthy and Kelsey. You should just have those. Every Chief, basically, should be in your lineup.
Kelsey, I guess he has that. What do you finish? Tight end 10, tight end 7 the last 2 weeks. My worry is he operates in the same area of the field as Rashi Rice in a majority of it. And
they try not to use him in games like this, too. Like, historically, you see him just disappear in these games because they want him healthy for the playoffs. So it's just hard. Like, if you have somebody else, then you can go for it. But
Hollywood Brown, any interest there?
A lot less with Rice back. Same. But I think he moves to the 3, and I think Tyquan Thornton goes to the 4.
Which stinks. I've been having so much fun betting on Tyquan Thornton this year. It's been a blast. I mean, do I have to ask who wins it, or do we ask if the Raiders cover?
Is that
the better question?
Yeah. I'm still going to say Chiefs. There's just no Bowers. The defense is miserable.
Yeah, they're 3-3. They need a statement game. They got their team back. Yeah. I love the
best 3-3 team in the league for sure.
100%. Clearly not best team in the AFC because we got the Colts over there top.
That's 5-1, baby.
Yeah. Got to hold on to that. I don't know how much longer it's going to last. All righty. Next game, it's the 4-2 Eagles taking on the 3-2 Vikings. It's a 43.5-point over-under, unfortunately. The Eagles are favored by 1.5 in this one. So just kind of looking here, the quarterbacks, Carson Wentz will be starting, it looks like. Jalen Hurts, put him in your lineup, though.
Yep. I actually see Eagles at 2.5, at least what I was looking at before. So they might have been bet up a lot recently, probably with the McCarthy news that his ankle is not really 100%. But yeah, Hurts, you're starting him. I'm out on Wentz or McCarthy, whoever ends up playing.
Yeah, 100%. I'm right there with you. As far as the running backs go, we've got Saquon Barkley on the other side. Been a bit disappointing over the last season. But, I mean, you're starting him.
Yeah, you have to.
Let's talk about Jordan Mason on the other side. They're coming off the bye. He's been disappointing in the realm of Aaron Jones is gone. I was really hoping to get a lot more from him with him being thrust into the starting role. Philly? I don't know. Like, how excited are you to play him against Philly?
No, it feels ugly, but Philly's hasn't been that good against the running back this year. They just got carved up by Scadaboo last week. Mason's seeing like 30% of the team's touches, and Eagles are 26th in schedule adjusted fantasy points to the running back right now. So I don't hate it. I think he's probably a low-end RB2, and if Wentz is in, then they're probably going to try to feed him as early as they can and try to get him involved and try to establish that run game.
Yeah, it looks like Jalen the Loogie Carter should be in this game, which could prove to be a little bit more of a challenge for him as well. Down to the wide receivers, Justin Jefferson, easy play. A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, Jordan Addison. How are you approaching these, what should be easy starts? Some people might have no choice but to start them, but I mean, A.J. Brown, how are you looking at him this week?
I come from the dynasty mindset where you just play your guys based on talent. Like, I can't imagine sitting A.J. Brown at any point. And I even struggle with the thought of sitting Devontae Smith. Addison, I think, is still a pretty good play. He's been really consistent and kind of off the radar since he came back. And Hockenson is the one that I'm avoiding. Addison has kind of taken all those targets. And then Goddard is really like the target leader against for the Eagles. And Minnesota is actually the best in fantasy points allowed to receivers. So this once again might line up to be a Goddard game because they kind of just use those guys as decoys.
No, it's going to be a Goddard game because the OC is Where's my bleep button? Where's my bleep button?
The horn's going to come up in 5 seconds.
There we go. He is such a... There it is.
Hate Goddard.
I don't hate Goddard. I just hate how much she's being used. 15 points is going to the wide receiver position as a whole for Minnesota. Would you start Addison or Devonta Smith?
Who do you I'd probably go Addison.
I think so, too. I'm still skeptical about the work we've seen in with Addison. It's been a lot of late fourth quarters where he gets those big catches, maybe the touchdown. I'm hoping that's just the way the game script worked, and it's not just he's a garbage time guy this year. But, I think I feel more comfortable with him than I do the other side.
I love Devontae Smith as a player, and he is absolutely incredible. But the floor has just been on display all season, outside of like one game.
The fact that we have to see T. Higgins, Jalen Waddle, and Devonta Smith stuck behind elite players, that's my biggest complaint I have with the Jalen Waddle. Why would you ship him? You know, we hear talks of maybe him going to some of these teams that already have a stud wide receiver. I get it. You want to build the team, great. But do they not consider our fantasy teams these selfish SOBs? Who do you have winning it?
I'm going to go Eagles. I feel like they need to come back after last week. And this feels like last year, too, where they were like 6-0 and everyone was calling for their heads and saying that they were a terrible team. And they just kind of started stomping on people once they put it all together. So I'm going to take the Eagles on the road.
Yeah, coming off two straight losses, kind of been fading the Eagle or leaning against the Eagles, if you will, the last few weeks. But they got their couple losses. I'm happy. No one's going undefeated this year. I'm cool with it.
Mario's gone.
Yeah. He's not here to keep rubbing it in our face. Yep. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Give me the Eagles. Next up, this one could be a stinker, folks. We've got the 3-3 Panthers playing the 0-6 Jets. A 42-point over-under. Carolina's favored by one. Lines move just a little bit closer to the equal there. I'm just looking for an update as far as... All right, cool. Garrett Wilson's going to miss, unfortunately. Yeah. But let's start with the quarterbacks. Justin Fields, this week and next week, he's got a very intriguing matchup. I love his matchup. But you take his one and only talented pass catcher. You taking him? You playing him?
Oh, man. I'm really struggling personally. I have him and Caleb Williams. And I talked about him this week as a buy low coming off last week. He's got over 27 fantasy points in three games against bad teams and then under 5 in two games against good teams. The next 2 weeks, he's got two terrible defenses to play against. But without Garrett Wilson, it's really tough. So I think he's a fringe QB1. He is the epitome of a boom bust play this week.
Yeah, I think it's more like if you're looking for an explosion, if you're looking for a big one, I totally get that.
He's probably going to run a lot. He's probably going to be forced to, and they might have more design runs because of that. Where do you have him? You got him at 13. So yeah.
Justin Fields or Daniel Jones?
Probably Daniel Jones.
Justin Fields or Jordan Love?
Love.
I think so too. Love's so frustrating. Dude, you could be easily a 3-4 touchdown a game kind of fella. But no, he's just worried about winning. Whatever. Fine. running backs, Breece Hall, I'm going to put him in there. They're going to need to lean on him. He might be their number one pass catcher this week. Tell me how we deal. Chuba Hubbard's coming back. Tell me how we deal with a back-to-back 200 all-purpose game from Rico Dowdle and then Chuba, the guy they just paid last year, coming back.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be 60-40, 70-30 in favor of Rico, just depending on how healthy Chuba is. But he's still talented. So if you have Rico and you think he's just going to dominate touches like 100%, 34 touches last week, like that's not going to happen again.
No.
So I think you're playing them both in RB2 range, and they'll probably eat into each other's workload quite a bit.
I might be viewing Chuba Hubbard a little bit more as a RB3 flex this week, just with the unknown. We really have no idea how this is going to shake out. I do have Rico Dowdle just inside the RB2s just because, you know, we've seen what he's done in the last couple of weeks. But who's to say Chuba Hubbard wouldn't have done the same thing if he was in?
Yeah, and also Chuba did it against Miami and Dallas.
Like, yeah,
everyone has done it against Miami and Dallas. The Jets just shut down the Broncos last week. They had no rush game, and they've been number 2 PFF offensive line. Like, the Jets have a good chance of shutting down this run game. I think it's just going to be an ugly game all around.
Tet McMillan, Mason Taylor, the only two pass catchers I'm really interested in starting this week.
Yeah, and Tet against Sauce Gardner is not a great matchup either, so I don't have high hopes there.
Yeah, manage your expectations. He got two touchdowns last week. I don't know if he's getting another one this week.
Mason Taylor has an 18% target share, and the Panthers are 31st in points per game to the tight end position. If Garrett Wilson was out there, I would like him even more because they'd have somebody else to focus on, but he's probably – him and Breece are going to lead the team in targets.
Who wins it?
I'm going to take the Jets at home, the underdog Jets here. I think the defense – I want to see the Panthers beat any good defense.
Hey, Bryce, they shut out the Falcons, who have a good defense. You know what I mean?
No, sorry. Yeah, I want to see the Panthers score some points against a good defense. They show up in all these bad games, but you know they show up against Dallas. Let's see you show up against a talented secondary.
Yeah, we've got the last winless team in the Jets. Let's go get a dub. Aaron Glenn, I want you to stay there with the Jets. Despite, and he's a little rough with the media people, but can't say I wouldn't be either. next up, it's the last of our 1 o'clock games. Vrabel's revenge, folks. Here it is, 4-2 Patriots taking on the head coachless Tennessee Titans at 1-5. New England's favorite at 7 points. This is a 42.5 point over under. Yeah, if you didn't hear, folks, Brian Callahan, he got the axe. He was chopped. He was chopped. It looks like Mike McCoy. Yeah, you were wondering who that is? The guy that gets a new job, it seems like, almost every year. Head coach of the Chargers back in the day. He's running that circus down there. Quarterbacks. I mean, there is a quarterback in this game that you want to play, and there's one he'll be on the other side.
Yeah. You're talking Cam Ward, I assume you're starting?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, that Rocket? Who's not? Come on.
Yeah. May has looked awesome. PFF's number 6 quarterback right now with a ragtag group of skill players around him and a ragtag offensive line. So this is another good matchup for him. They have a team implied total of 24.25. So I think May is safe again, and hopefully he continues. He had 9 rushes last week, and that's what you like to see for fantasy purposes.
Yep, May was a guy I was really high on coming into the season, kind of getting more and more disappointed with him. He's one of these good quarterbacks that likes to spread the ball around. Like, come on, dude.
Yeah, and one of those guys who doesn't play fantasy football, but just real football. Cool. It's a little annoying. But as a Patriots more of these, man, this is awesome.
Absolutely. Running backs. I don't see a running back in this game that I want to play.
No, and Spears is eating into Pollard's workload a little bit. He got back onto the field last week. Ramondre is getting the goal line touches still, but he's getting like under 25 yards a week too, so he's hard to trust. I still want to buy into Trevion because I believe in the talent. I think in the second half of the season, especially with Antonio Gibson out. So maybe this is a week where they start to unleash him. I want to see him on some like wheel routes and screen passes. I feel like they're not really using him the way he's supposed to be used or getting him into space. He doesn't fumble enough. Yeah, that's the issue. If he fumbled a bit more, he could probably take over that Ramondre spot.
Stevenson, I would have a little bit more confidence in, I guess, as far as all of these, just with them being seven-point favorites in this game. They should be able to control it. Ramondre Stevenson, you know, he'll probably, as long as he gets 2 touchdowns to offset the fumbles.
The for 12 yards and a fumble, yeah. then you're good.
These wide receivers, how do you want to approach this? Like, I'm still willing to flex Diggs. I get he disappointed us last week, 3 catches, 3 targets, 28 yards, but... Oh man,
I just think that's what happens. Like we see 2 big blow up games from a guy and then a defense just focuses in on him and they force you to throw somewhere else. And that's what they did last week. Booty had 2 touchdowns. DeMario Douglas had another. I think Diggs is a good buy low. I think he's a very good bet to lead the team in targets and receptions and everything by the end of the season. So if people are out on him right now, I'm totally back in. And I think this is another good game for him.
We've got Calvin Ridley out, like AU Manor. We kind of brought him up a little bit ago, but he's like that wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4 for me. I just no true confidence in what he can give me in this game.
Yeah, especially against Christian Gonzalez, who shuts down a lot of the league's best receivers.
And he is not that. Not yet. No. Not that he will be, but you know. And then tight end, you got Hunter Henry down there. If you really need to, go for it. Who wins the game?
Vrabel.
it's a bias. It's bias, folks. He's a Pats fan.
Just bias. But yeah, they're Tennessee, fired their head coach. Interesting timing. Like, very, very weird situation all in all. But I think Vrabel wins the game.
The amount of teams that win with the interim coach first game in. Jeff Saturday got himself a dub. You know, like, anything can happen. Anything can happen. Let's go to Mile High. We got it should be a fun one. 2-4 Giants taking on the 4-2 Broncos. Broncos are 7-point favorites in this one. 40.5 points is the total for it. Giants coming off huge win against Philly. Mm-hmm. Cam Scadabo absolutely rocked the world. Giants are one of those teams that are in contention for possibly trading for a player, whether that be Jacoby Myers. Chris Olave has been looked at quite a bit. Talk to me. I mean, Bo Nix and Jackson Dart, a couple of mobile quarterbacks, questionable throwers. Do you want to start either one of them? How are you looking at it?
I think Nix is a low-end QB1 this week. They've got 23.75 team implied total. They might just lean on the run as much as possible, but he's been okay. The offense is kind of QB friendly, I would say. I'm more out on Dart. I know I was last week as well, but I think this is a terrible matchup. Giants have the lowest team implied total on anybody on the week. So I don't think they have the pass catchers. I think Scadaboo is going to be kind of a low end RB2 and come back to life, to real life in against this Broncos defense as well. But I'm kind of expecting the Giants to fall back down a bit in this one.
I've got lower expectations for both of these quarterbacks. Denver has absolutely shut down rushing quarterbacks this year. We've seen a handful of these guys go up against Denver, and they've not let it out. And that's kind of where Dart needs to make his magic. He does not have any elite pass catchers. Even if this passing game could get going, he's had 58, 55, and 54 yards these last three games. I'm probably taking the under on it just because, like I said, Denver shuts him down. Yeah. Scadaboo, I'm playing. Dobbins, I'm playing. And Harvey is just a bench stash for me.
Yeah, Harvey's a little weird because Sean Payton likes to, whenever he thinks he can pick on a bad team, then he'll start putting in his little toys and try to make himself look smart with all his draft picks. So that's kind of what we saw with the Bengals that time, where Dobbins wasn't getting any carries until the second half, and they just threw the ball like 45 times for no reason. But so I wouldn't be too surprised to see Harvey get like 4 or 5 catches and some stupid little trick plays, because this is just where Sean Payton does those things. But yeah, I mean, I think you're starting both of those guys.
I smell anytime touchdown on RJ Harvey. Is that what you're putting down there, Nick?
Like, yeah, I'd like to see the odds on that.
As far as pass catchers here, give me Cortland Sutton.
And I'm out.
And I'm out.
Ingram could be sneaky, but I don't think you really need to go that far.
What about Wando Robinson coming off a pretty big game this past week? 6 catches, 7 targets, 84 yards and a touchdown. Where does he fall as far as your comfortability plan?
Wide receiver 3 range at best. I just think this matchup is too much for him.
Sterling Shepard or Wandale Robinson?
Wandale.
Matthew Golden or Wandale Robinson?
Golden.
Troy Franklin or Wandale Robinson?
They're like the same players on the opposite side of the field.
That is fun.
I don't know. Coin toss. What do you think?
Let's
look at your rankings real quick.
They're not updated to fool me, but yeah, I don't know. Troy Franklin just feels a little sexier in the play.
Yep, just go with the one more touchdown scored on the team.
Yeah, there we go.
The team total.
Who wins it?
Broncos.
4-2. I feel like they're worse than a 4-2 team.
Yeah, they're an interesting one.
Okay, folks, I say it's a 3-minute timer. We might do 9 on this one. We're going to the SoFi. It's the Stampede coming. 5-1 Colts playing against the 4-2 Chargers. 48.5 point over under. Chargers are favored by 1.5. That must be wrong. It's got to be wrong. No, Colts only loss is actually coming SoFi Stadium. My co-host on the other show, he went to that one. He's going to this one. We're taking the L. I know it. He's jinxed. He's ruining it for us. The quarterbacks, though, I mean, Justin Herbert started hot with a QB5, QB18, then 12, and it's kind of drifted from there. QB20, QB20, QB15. I don't want to start him. Like Bo Nix over Justin Herbert?
Probably, but I do like Herbert this week a little bit more. I think the injuries, you know, he lost both tackles. He's lost both his running backs. So once you start to lose those guys, it makes it pretty difficult to stand back in the pocket and make the throws that you were making the first few weeks. I think he was like top three in yards per attempt in those first 3 weeks, and that has come down significantly since. And we've kind of seen that transition from downfield Quentin Johnson to short pass Ladd McConkey, which, well, you know, was what we were hoping to see probably preseason, but now there's actual merit and reason behind it.
Yeah, a lot of dink and dunks coming in this game. Wide receivers have really beat the Colts. Quarterbacks are about middle of the road, so I don't mind playing them, but unless we get more rushing, I want to see more rushing, and I really thought we'd get more of that with these injuries. It might develop a little bit more with these backup running backs back at the helm, but definitely a risky start. Jonathan Taylor, he is not that. Mm-hmm. Running backs on the other side, though. Haskins, Vidal, Hines?
You can only start Vidal, but I don't feel anywhere near as confident as I did last week. But he handled the full workload, so I think he's the only one that you can put into your lineup.
And he also played Miami, which I'm pretty sure I could get points off Miami. Colts are the eighth worst match for running backs. They're only allowing 16 points a game. I know he did great, and I don't know what it is, but I kind of want to fade him this week.
Yeah, neither of us have bought in. I would be trying to trade him. I would try to package him and move up to another running back that is going to be more consistent for sure.
Especially with the report that Amarian Hampton, it might be a little bit longer than just the initial four-week stint. They've had trade rumors all around them, so I don't know. I'm not saying bench him because you might need him and with a play like last week, but I just also don't want to chase points. Haskins had one hell of a hustle play, and Harbaugh, that's what gets him going, those hustle plays, not the big touchdowns. So,
not the 130-yard performances, right? Just hustle plays.
Josh Downs popped up with a concussion midweek, so we're pretty much assuming he's out at that point. It's Michael Pittman, it's Ladd McConkey. Are you playing Keenan Allen? Three dud games. I mean, it's essentially no touchdown or bust for him this year.
I think if Quentin Johnson's out, then he's definitely in consideration. Yeah. He's going to be kind of that wide receiver 1-2. So I don't think it's too crazy, especially if Johnson's out.
Yeah, I agree. Especially the Colts, you can beat him there. Yeah. Trey Harris, rookie, we're not playing him. We're just watching him. Second round pick. He played a lot of snaps last week, folks. This is exactly what I wanted to see. So I just hopeful. Tight end, Tyler Warren, absolutely starting. I'd put him over some running backs and wide receivers this week.
Yeah, Warren's awesome. We've been hyping him up all, even in the offseason, saying this guy's going to be a great value.
And Oronde Gadsden.
I got him in Dynasty this week.
Yeah, eight targets, seven receptions, 68 yards, kind of plugging into that QJ role that we've seen going a little deeper. So a 12-team league. I don't mind streaming them. Maybe you made the article. Maybe go check it out on QBList.com. We have all our amazing streaming articles, our start, sit, our what we saw, and all those amazing things. Don't hurt me, Nick. Who's winning it?
We'll say Colts.
Oh, you're just doing that to make me happy, aren't you?
I mostly am because I'm such a Herbert fanboy, but
we'll take mostly
getting 6-1.
I'm gonna take my boys.
I'd like to see the comebacks of these Sam Darnolds, Daniel Jones, Baker Mayfield, these guys who like just underperform all this time. And then by the time they're 27, 28, get a new chance, figure out the NFL a little bit. Everybody's already given up on them. You know, Geno Smith even fits that mold, but I like seeing these underdog guys. So Daniel Jones looks good as a passer and a runner.
He just about has playback or comeback player of the year wrapped up. So, like it's almost like set in stone already.
Yeah. Some really nice passes too, which like we've kind of ruled out of his skill set at this point.
Right. Yeah. I thought the best thing we were going to get is rushing. And we haven't seen that in every game. You know, we've seen him get it done through the air. Next up, it's Cactus and Curds. We're going to the desert. It's the 3-1-1 Packers against all season. We're going to have to keep doing that. It's going to annoy the crap out of me. Cardinals 2-4 hosting the game. It's a 44.5 point over under. Green Bay's favored by 6.5. Jordan Love, kind of a low end QB1 for me. And then we've got Kyler Murray. He stays limited on Thursday. I guess if Kyler's in, are you playing him?
I'm probably trying to look elsewhere because it's a foot injury, right?
Yeah, foot injury.
Yeah, foot injury. So Kyler hasn't even been a QB1 for several years, and it's only based off of rushing. So foot injury is not going to help that. He was out last week. Green Bay's got a good defense. They've kind of underperformed, but they're still a very, very solid defense. So I'm probably out. Marvin Harrison also, we're not sure if he's going to play, so that's not going to help at all. So yeah, I'm probably just out on whoever the QB is.
Even if it's Brissett, the guy who just absolutely crushed last week?
The ex-Patriot, yeah. Well, maybe if it's Brissett.
Ex-Colt, watch it.
Oh, yes, true.
He played more games for us, unfortunately. R.I.P. Andrew. Yeah, Marvin Harrison, the concussion last week. Limited in practice on Thursday, so we're going to monitor, see what happens on Friday. Honestly, just keep him out. Like, if we're being honest, your number one quarterback's out. Like, he is the future of the franchise.
I mean, Brissett might fit him better. Marv is not a make-it-up-as-you-go sort of, like, Kyler video game quarterback. Like, he needs somebody who's a precision passer. That's why Stroud and him were so good in college. He needs somebody who can hit him in the hands during the middle of the route and let him continue running. So maybe Brissett is actually a better fit to that mold. So I'd be curious to see. I'd like to actually see it.
He would have had a career game last week in his old dad's stomping grounds with Brissett, the amount of yards he put up. I think he could have had an absolute career game. As far as the running backs go, Josh Jacobs is an easy start. The other side, Michael Carter, Bam Knight, DeMarcado got banged up last week, did not practice Thursday, which I think's a good sign because I think Michael Carter looks like a great play. As far as them being dogs, he should be out there for more of the passing work. Bam Knight might vulture a touchdown, but 11 for 34, 4 for 11. Like, he's gotten two touchdowns the last 2 weeks, but it's just, I don't know, doesn't tickle my fancy.
Yeah, neither tickles are fancy.
No fancies have been tickled. Yeah. Kind of like the wide receivers here. I would be willing to Michael Wilson or Zay Jones.
If you had to pick one. Man, I think Wilson, but Zay Jones was the guy last week. But Wilson was playing before, and Zay Jones was not. So maybe it's the practice squad guys who had that little, who had some play together and came onto the field. Sometimes you see that, but Wilson's the better player. So I'd lean to him.
Would you play either one of them, or would you play Dobbs?
I'd play Dobbs.
And then Golden, you putting him in?
I'd probably play Golden over either of them as well.
Good. I hope they get him more and more involved, but this game, they might have the game script for most of it, so who knows if they've got to throw it deep. Tucker Kraft, Trey McBride, those are the guys you want to start, though.
Yeah, they're both in.
Nice. Who wins it?
Green Bay.
Yeah, Green Bay.
For sure.
Next up, we've got it's the 3-3 Commanders taking on the 2-3-1 Cowboys. This is a 55-point over-under, folks, and it's being bet up, too. We were below that number. Let's get it. Washington's favored at 1.5. That line's actually moved from 2.5 to 1.5. So is Dallas being taken for real? No. I think it's because Terry McLaurin and Debo both weren't practicing today or on Thursday, so that might play into it quite a bit. Dak Prescott and Jaden Daniels, though, easy starts.
Yes. I agree. That's all. Start them both.
Absolutely. Javonte Williams, a little disappointing last week. We had 13 for 29, 8 targets, though, 5 catches, 5 yards.
We talked about Javonte a bit this offseason, where if he can come back healthy, he's got the 3-down skill set, and you know, nobody has touched, even like sniffed the backfield. Miles Sanders has been out. Jaden Blue hasn't really even seen the field. So I think that game was overdue for Javonte, but
for sure.
But he should absolutely still be in your lineup.
Yeah, he was before last week, he was over 75 yards in all but the first game. In that game, he scored 2 touchdowns. He's had touchdowns in all but 2 games, but the guy's, I mean, he's still absolutely crushing it as far as that goes. So
high team implied point total, and there's no game script that he won't be involved. So you should feel pretty safe with him.
Looks like CeeDee Lamb, he's coming out there, he's playing. So, I mean, he's back. I'm ready to put him in there. George Pickens, though, are you afraid to put him in your lineup with CeeDee Lamb back?
No, both of them should be playing.
Absolutely. If Debo plays, are you playing him?
Yeah, I think so. Dallas can't stop anybody.
No. He sits out of practice on Thursday. Looks like he's managing, so maybe he might get out there. But, if those guys don't play, do you go to Chris Moore, who seemed to make the splash? Do you have, I mean, good Lord, I forget how
McCaffrey, there's just a smorgasbord of players. I honestly don't know. I don't think you can have a lean on any of these guys.
McCaffrey's got 3 touchdowns in the last 4 games, but in those games, 1 catch, 2 catch, and 3 catches.
So. Right, and that's why he's tough, because he's not even seeing targets. He's just scoring touchdowns. But touchdowns are worth a lot. So,
yeah, if anyone, I think it's really Zach Ertz. It gets me hot and bothered as far as the tight ends go. Jake Ferguson, I've still got him up there, but I'd expect it to come down just a bit with CeeDee Lamb back. We didn't even touch these Washington running backs. Completely glossed over it. How could I? Well, it's because I don't know what we're doing here. We've got Bill. We had the coming out game, 14 for 111, 2 touchdowns, 39 through the air. And then last week, 17-61, 1 catch, 7 yards, no touchdowns. I think these are the games you're going to get. You know, you may get the RB11s 1 week, and you may get an RB30-something the next week.
Totally. And that's what you should get out of a rookie 7th-round pick who is the 28th running back off the board, who really shouldn't, you know, statistically was unlikely to see the field at all this year. But things shake out. But, you know, Rico just put up 230 yards last week against Dallas. You got the, again, high team implied point total. Dallas can't stop anybody. So I think he's still going to be heavily involved in the game.
And then, I mean, Jeremy McNichols. No.
No.
Who wins it?
I'm going to go Cowboys.
I think I was going to, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they're healthy.
If CD's healthy, then this is, I mean, they've been putting up a lot of points anyway without CeeDee Lamb, and CeeDee Lamb is a top 3 wide receiver, in my opinion.
I think Jaden Daniels has the ability to single-handedly take down the Cowboys this week. But I think the Cowboys might just overwhelm them. I think they might be too much with the Javonte, with CeeDee Lamb, with Ferguson, and with George Pickens.
Yeah, without McLaurin, without a healthy Debo, I don't know if they have all the tools to get it done.
I completely agree. That's why they're in trade rumor talk. Oh, they just signed Treylon Burks right before we started recording. Not that actually means anything, but, you know, a name to remember. He was the reason A.J. Brown left.
That is saying something.
Such a bad trade. All right, Sunday Night Football. Here it is. The 3-2 Falcons take it on the 4-2 Niners. 47.5-point over-under. San Francisco is favored by 2, but that line has moved down. The Falcons put on a show against the Bills, at least in the first half. Second half, they just tried not to pull a Super Bowl. You know, have a replay of that the Super Bowl loss for them. But how do you feel about Penix? Like, are we happy with this play? I just can't decide.
I don't know. London was the only wide receiver who caught a pass last week. And I just feel like, yeah, I mean, I consider McDermott a really good coach and a good defense, but I don't think that can happen again. You know, Bijan and London just destroyed. So I think you're content with him. I think he's still got a lot of room to grow, but I also think you hate left-handed quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think it just looks, why do we have so many in the league right now? They're taking over. It's an epidemic. It's almost nearly 10% of the starting quarterbacks in the league right now are lefties. What are we doing?
Well, as someone who has a lot of London and traded for London and talked about London as a buy low this season, I love him because he only looks London's way. We'll see when Mooney comes back, but I think that actually can only help. Like they need another target on the other side of the field. Somebody has to draw away some attention. But anyway, we
do they? Do they? London? I think he can do it by himself.
I mean, I'd rather they don't. I'll have a very successful fantasy season if London sees 14 targets a game.
Right, yeah. Mooney was back at practice. It's a hamstring, so I think it's kind of keep an eye on it. A 12-team league, I don't mind plugging in Mooney if you need to. Running backs, though, I mean, we kind of glossed over it, but do we need to talk about them? It's Bijan. It's CMC. The weirdest thing is that CMC's receiving line is almost the same as his rushing line. I think that's the only thing of note there to really speak on. Wide receivers for the San Francisco. Break it down for me. If it's Purdy, I don't know if I want Bourne.
Yeah, Mac Jones loves Bourne. He's seeing 10 targets a game. Man, DeMarcus Robinson. Do we have any status on Pearsall?
I saw something. I think it was the coach talking today. It's not looking good for this week. Yeah. Looks like it might be another week. He's still trying to get out there, but it's not as promising as
I wanted to talk about, because we don't know if Purdy's playing. We don't know if it's Mac Jones. We don't know if Pearsall is playing. I think we're confident that Kittle's playing, but
Purdy limited with again in practice, right, on Thursday, and then Kittle was limited Thursday as well.
Yeah. So we think Kittle's playing. He's in your lineup for sure. If Pearsall's not in, I'm fine with Bourne because I think he kind of has established himself as the wide receiver one when the top four wide receivers are out. I would take him over DeMarcus Robinson for sure.
And Juwan Jennings came out and said he's dealing with five broken ribs.
And Juwan Jennings.
Limited Thursday. If he plays, I was excited for him last week, but if he plays, I don't want him. All it takes is one bad hit, he's gone.
He also mentioned two sprained ankles, and that's both of your feet. So that's.
Wait, hang on.
Yeah,
one. Yeah, math checks out.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So hard to start him for me, for sure.
Yeah, Mac Jones plays. I'm putting him born at 100%. DeMarcus Robinson was running out there more routes. So
Mac Jones and Kendrick Bourne doing anything like this for the past 2 years in New England.
Yeah, would have been great.
Nothing like this.
And if Kittle's out, I'll play Tonjes. I don't mind going back to the well. All righty. Who wins it?
I'm going to go Atlanta. I think San Francisco is just so beat up. And then Fred Warner got knocked out last week. Nick Bosa's out. Who is left?
I don't know. Christian McCaffrey. Yeah. Chris McCaffrey's left. That's it.
And that's incredible if he's your healthiest player on your team.
I feel like it's a trap. Take the Falcons. Like they come out and put a statement game on the Bills and they come drop an egg. Like kind of like what they did with the Carolina. You know, they were looking hot going into that game and then they lose 30-0.
Yeah, then I picked up their defense against the Panthers and they lose 30-0.
But I'll take the Falcons. I think they should win this game. Like the 49ers are just decimated right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh God! Don't lose it, Brian. This
is the most exciting one.
Well, we have two Monday Night Football games, folks. We still have two games to talk about. It's the Monday. It's the first Monday game, folks. If you're an East Coaster like me, this one's going to be at 7:00. It's the 5-1 Bucks taking on the 4-2 Lions in the Motor City. 52.5 point over under. Let's get it. And Detroit favored by 5.5. The Lions move in favor of them. I mean, I'm sure it's because the Bucs are down four wide receivers. Their best four wide receivers. As far as the quarterbacks go, though, I am playing Mayfield because he is the MVP of the season so far. Jared Goff, he's at home, so we play him, right?
Yep, totally. Especially against the Bucs.
And especially with the 52.5 point over under. That's great. Yep. That's money. Running backs here, Jahmyr Gibbs continues to eat. David Montgomery, any concern with him just as far as, he's had RB2 and an RB9 finish, but outside of that, 25, 62, 23, 36.
Not really. Not with a 5.5 spread and 29 team implied point total. I feel like this is a game where he might see more touches than Jahmyr Gibbs as the game goes on. So he's kind of that grind the game out sort of guy, and he could end up with a couple touchdowns.
Yeah, the Buccaneers, they're not the worst defense, but they're giving up points. They're letting it happen, especially when Baker's going out there and scoring. The other team has to match that. Running back on the other side, Rashad White is he's a Bucky light. You know, he's going to go out there and give you 80, 90, 100% of what Bucky's going to give you.
Yeah. Sean Tucker, not someone I'm starting, but certainly someone worth rostering.
Oh, yeah. We got our eyes.
Keep your eye out while Bucky's out, at least.
Going to the wide receivers for Detroit, Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, that one's easy. But his buddy, Jameson Williams, he's got a nice sandwich of good games. First game so far, it's great. Week 6, it was awesome. But then this crap sandwich that he's just loading between these buns is not looking good. I guess not. You want to play him because it's a 52.5 point over under, right?
Yeah, I'm probably playing him.
It was the Baltimore game. I don't. There's
the Baltimore game. He didn't do much. I think he ended with like 40 yards. They were both his catches were pretty early, so he looked like he was on his way to a big day. But he still saw 8 targets. Then it was last week that he scored the touchdown pretty early. He got used on a few end arounds, some kind of middle passes, some deeper looks. He's still seeing a lot of targets. So that's what I want to see. Even though he's going to have those disappearing acts, if he's going to see 6 to 8 touches or targets every week, then I'm still in.
Let's play a game. Jameson Williams or AJ Brown.
I'd probably go AJ just because where you drafted him. But I could easily see Jameson having a bigger week.
Jameson Williams or Michael Pittman?
Jameson.
Jameson Williams or Jordan Addison?
Jameson.
I think so, just because it's very similar situations.
Yeah. But I think Jameson has the higher ceiling.
Mac Jones started, or is starting. Let's play in that world. Are you doing Jameson Williams or Kendrick Bourne?
Probably still lean Jameson, just going in on the talent and the 52.5 over under. I think this game's going to be a shootout no matter what.
Yeah, I think so too. Tight end Sam Laporta, I've got him as a top 12 play, closer to 12 than any other number. Same with Kate Otten. The most unsexy play there is. Like, I just don't even want to, even though it completely makes sense for him to have a decent game. But
yeah, he should see a decent amount of targets, but he should have last week too, and he didn't.
Mike Evans looks like he should be suiting up this week. Officially limited on Thursday. So if rank the two Johnsons and Sterling Shepard for me. How would you play them?
Those guys have got to be back to back to back in rankings. Sterling Shepard probably is at the head of it. And then shortly after, you've got Tez, and then I want to say Caleb, but Cameron.
Cameron. Yeah,
Cameron Johnson.
Cameron with the K.
Yeah.
Just like Caleb Johnson up there for Pittsburgh with the K.
That would probably be my order. I don't really want to play any of them.
PPR leagues, I'm more comfortable with Shepard just because I do think he gives you a decent floor.
Yeah.
And if you're a dog, you're shooting for upside, give me Tez Johnson if you're really looking for some points. But who knows? This game could be – who knows where it's going to go.
Do you have any interest in buying Mike Evans if he's coming back? Like right now?
Not really. Just
coming off the hamstring?
Coming off the hamstring. He is older. We see a lot more of this recurring event for him where they got New Orleans in a bye. He does play Miami in the championship game.
Who scores this week for Tampa Bay? They got 23.5. They're going to be throwing. They're 5.5-point underdogs.
Baker and Rashad White.
That's it.
Baker runs it in, and then Rashad White catches one and runs one in.
Big PPR day for Rashad White, basically. That's what we're
thinking. I'm hoping so. They might have to just nickel and dime their way through that. Who wins it?
Detroit. It's got to be.
I'm taking Baker. Give me Baker in the Bucks. They're in Detroit, so it's probably going to be Detroit, but I can't not root for the guy. How can you not root
for Baker? I'm rooting for the guy, but Detroit at home, I mean – you're doing this. This is without the spread, so you're feeling super confident, or?
I guess I like the 5.5. I definitely take the Bucks, the +5.5. Give me that.
Nice.
Alrighty, and our last game. I'm gonna be watching this on Tuesday because do you think I'm staying up till 10 o'clock,
folks? This guy night. Gets up at 3 a.m. for his work.
And I just don't like staying up that late. It's so late. Yeah, 10 o'clock. Why are we starting a game? Like, I feel like we're about to watch Hawaii play Oregon in this
game. You got to move out to the West Coast, man. No. It's perfect here. These late games end at 10 p.m. for me. I like make a little lunch for the next day and head to bed. It's the best. Goodness.
Yeah, but then the first game starting at 4 o'clock for you. Well, West Coast, I guess. Wild stuff.
I guess I'm mountain time.
Yeah, you up in the mountains. Up in the mountains. We got 2-3 Texans taking on the 4-2 Seahawks. 41-point over under. Seattle's favored by 3. Houston's coming off the bye week. Sam Darnold, I'll play him. I like him.
Yeah, Houston's got a pretty good secondary, but Sam Darnold has proven that he's actually legit. Like, we weren't really sure. Everyone said it was Kevin O'Connell and Justin Jefferson and all his tools, but he looks pretty dang good so far without, you know, really with one guy at his disposal, and he's making everybody else look good along the way.
Yeah, it might have been all KOC last year, but that doesn't mean that Sam Darnold can't take the things he learned with him. You know, we saw the promise is a young developing quarterback. He's played for some of the worst teams that are, like, as far as developing quarterbacks. The deep ball's great. He doesn't have Justin Jefferson, but he's got JSN. Justin Jefferson light, it seems like. This guy is emerging as a stud in this league. 2 touchdowns last week, 4 touchdowns the week before. I'll stream Sam Darnold. Running backs. I don't know which side.
Boys.
I don't know which side is worse. You got Chubbs and Mark on one, and you got Walker and Charbonnet on the other. Are you starting any of them confidently?
Not confidently, but I would rank them Walker, Probably Walker, Charbonnet,
Marks.
Maybe Marks, Chubb. Yeah. And I still kind of like Marks, and we've talked about this on our other podcast, but I think the game script down the stretch is going to favor Marks a little bit more as the receiving back. Anytime they're favored, Chubb is going to be the guy who's seeing most of the touches. It's probably going to be somewhere 60-40 split from week to week, but I do think Marks is going to see more playing time as the season goes on, and Chubb's a little bit older. He's got a lot of more kind of wear and tear on his body. So I think Marks is going to start seeing more in the rushing game. He's definitely going to see everything in the receiving game. So I kind of lean him long-term in this backfield.
Long-term, 100%. I want to have him on my team. I think Chubb might outscore him in this game if he falls in the end zone. I think that kind of like on the other side. Charbonnet could fall in the end zone, but Ken Walker's, he looks so much
better. He's so much better. It's not a comparison.
And it's not even like, I like Charbonnet. I think he's talented. We've seen what he can do when he has the backfield. I just want one of them out of the backfield. Go bench Ken. I love Ken Walker this year. Go bench him. It's fine. Go bench him. Just start one of them, dude. And they've come out. The coach openly said, this is how it's going to be. It's how it's going to be. Clint Kubiak, we loved you last year in New Orleans. So excited for you to go up there.
And Kubiak, when he came in, he just went on a rant about how great Ken Walker was. So it's interesting to see Charbonnet get these high-value touches now, because you can go back and watch this clip, and it was like, we are going to feature him in this offense, and the entire offense is going to run around him. So, yeah, it's a little unfortunate.
What we didn't hear is him whispering under his breath, I'm going to feature Ken Walker at 50% rate. Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. I hate it. I'm willing to play Ken Walker. If anyone's going to bust off the huge run, the big touchdown, it's him over Charbonnet. Charbonnet, like, his longest run, I think, of his career is less than 20 yards.
His yards per carry right now is like 2.4 or something.
Granted, really he's getting a lot of the goal line work, so that doesn't help him. But overall, his stuff rate is so much worse than Ken Walker's right now. Nico Collins, you'll put him out there. Jackson Smith and Jigba, you'll start him, and I'm out.
Yep. Maybe AJ Barner.
Oh,
scored gosh. 3 games, just throwing his name out there, but I don't like it at all. But he's one of the guys. Sam Darnold is making these guys look pretty good. Torrey Horton has played decently well for rookie receiver. Barner, I think we expected to be overtaken by Arroyo pretty much immediately given the draft capital. But,
and just the athleticism. Arroyo is immensely talented and athletic. Barner's a little bit more of that blocking guy. But when you block, you're on the field a little bit more. 4 touchdowns in the 6 games, but he also hasn't had more than 3 targets in a game. Or he's only had more than 3 targets in 1 game. 7 for 53, and that's when he got the 2 touchdowns. So if you need it, break glass for emergency. But it's just it's something I haven't found myself clicking on a lot this year.
No, not at all.
Who wins it?
I'm going to go Seattle.
Yeah, give me Seattle too. Houston has just been an absolute train wreck as far as the play calling this year and last year. It's been since Stroud's rookie year.
Pretty consistent, yeah.
Yeah, and that offensive line is crap. Yeah. And our last game, no, that's it.
Yeah, that's all.
That's it. We got 2 games on bye, so we don't have any more games. We're going to get out of here, folks. We've got to shut it down. If you are looking for more information, any of the reading material, maybe you're not just a listener of fantasy football content, head on over there to QBList.com where we have all of those amazing articles I brought up. We've got so much to offer over there, so come check it out. Nick, what else you got for the people?
Just appreciate you guys. Check out the articles. Check out Brian's tight end streaming article. He's had some really specific, like, amazing hits this year already. So I'd like to throw that out there. What We Saw articles are awesome. Really gives you in detail, not just stat lines, but were their plays called back? You know, did Stephon Diggs have a 50 yarder called back? Did Roma Dunze have a touchdown that was called back? That stuff matters and kind of helps you in your buy low, sell high conversations as well. So a lot of good stuff here at QB List, and just appreciate you guys listening.
Yeah, not everybody has time to watch every single game, and you're going to miss stuff watching Red Zone. It's the best product out there. Kind of, got commercials now, but as far as getting all those nitty-gritty, those little details, we have one awesome team over there with the What We Saw. And, I mean, not to knock any of the teams. We got some great stuff over there. But, yeah, if you're looking for more of me, it's @too_much_Brian on Twitter. If you want to check out my other podcast, it's Too Much Fantasy Football, all the great stuff over there. Looking for more of Nick, he's right over there at the Footballers, or he's right here on the podcast with me, tearing it up, having a great time. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see y'all next time.